following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, it's Tuesday, July 18th. We want to welcome tonight's Viewpoint segment. This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. If you're new to the broadcast, this is your first time joining us, somebody invited you in, whatever the case may be, let us know in the comment section below where you guys are joining us from and that you are new. So tonight, we're going to be dealing with a topic that is going to be sensitive, but is going to be biblical. So I want to sound the alarm. We're going to give you an alert. If you are easily offended, you may not want to listen to this broadcast tonight, because we're going to be dealing with something that we have talked about for a while now, and that is the fact that we are living in the age of apostasy. There is numerable scriptures. We're going to go through these pretty quick. So if you're taking notes, I encourage you to go back and watch the rebroadcast of this, because I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but we're going to give you these references. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. The Apostle Paul makes it clear here that before the Antichrist makes his appearance on the scene, makes his debut, reveals his true identity. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul said that there will be a falling away, this Greek word apostasia, where we get the word apostasy. This is not dealing with the world. It is dealing with the church. It is dealing with those who claim faith, those who say they're believers, those who are walking with God, but somewhere down the line, they have been led astray. They have fallen away from the faith. They've given heed to things such as 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says that the Holy Spirit reveals that in the latter days that some will depart from the faith, and they will give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. These will have their own conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they will reject truth. They will reject the gospel. They will reject sound doctrine. Why? Because according to their own lust, they will gather teachers around them to tickle their ears. And even in Luke 18, Jesus says in the verse 8, Luke 18, 8, that when the Son of Man comes, he tells us that the faith will be diminished in the earth. That faith is going to be difficult to find among believers. Even among believers, faith will be scarce. So when we put all this together, we discover here that it is absolutely essential for us as believers to stay vigilant, to be rooted and grounded in the truth, to be alert, to be watchful for false teachings, false teachers, false apostles, false prophets, and deceptive influences that are responsible for leading people away from the faith. So that's what that's the foundation in which we're going to go on tonight. Now let's get to some articles. This first one is from The Guardian. The Archbishop of York tells General Synod that our father has patriarchal connotations. The Lord's Prayer, you know, the Lord's Prayer, in the event that maybe you're a new believer, you're young in the faith, you're not familiar with this. This is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, when the disciples come to Jesus privately and say, "Teach us, Lord, how to pray." He says, "Therefore, do not be like them." He's talking about the hypocrites, the Pharisees, those that pray to be seen by men. He said, "Therefore, in this manner you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So the Lord's Prayer has been cited for over 2,000 years. Never been a problem. No one, at least among the community of faith, has had an issue with it. But of course, we live in a time where we are buckling and caving and capitulating and compromising to the culture of this world and the culture and the society that we're living in. And thus, now we see an archbishop that says that the Lord's Prayer opening may be, quote, problematic. Well, why is it problematic, Mr. Archbishop? Well, according to the report, the Archbishop of York has suggested that the opening words of the Lord's Prayer, recited by Christians all over the world for over 2,000 years, may be problematic because of their patriarchal association. What does that even mean? In his opening address to a meeting of the Church of England's ruling body, the General Synod, Stephen Cottrell, dwelt on the words, "Our Father." The start of the prayer, based on Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, it's also referenced in Luke 11, 2 through 4 in the New Testament of the Bible. Quote, "I know the word father is problematic for those whose experience of earthly fathers has been destructive and abusive. And for all of us who have labored rather too much for an oppressively patriarchal grip on life," he said. So, in other words, to cater to those who had an earthly father who was absent, abusive, physically, emotionally, mentally, verbally, because that may be the case, we're going to change the word of God to accommodate someone's emotions or someone's feelings. Wow. This is no different than the radical groups that are rewriting the Bible to accommodate their own agendas, kind of like what PETA did, where they use artificial intelligence to rewrite the book of Genesis. Why? Because they wanted to create their own version of creation. Now, we talk about this. We did a whole podcast on this app, on this subject alone, but I'm going to refresh some of y'all's memories, or maybe y'all missed this. But PETA is giving the Old Testament text a, quote, modern makeover. Why? In order to send a can't-be-missed animal rights message filled with vegan teachings. According to PETA, this is a joint effort to present a, quote, cruelty-free story of creation. And in the process, it can appeal, here it is, to Generation Z. Because, you know, we have to appeal to the soft generation. We have to appeal to those who get their feelings hurt too often and too easily. In the effort of this, PETA has amended specific names and titles given to God's creation in the text. And that's not all. In the book, PETA's version of the creation story, animals are referred to as beings rather than beasts or creatures, and plant fibers like hemp and bamboo are used in the place of animal skins for clothing, as no one with any fashion or moral sense would wear animal skins in the 21st century. So we have to make this modern, and we have to make this applicable, and we have to make this relevant to today's society. Oh, but that's not all. The part of Abraham's story in Genesis 22 is completely transformed with the patriarchs befriending a lamb rather than sacrificing a ram. And a chapter before that, Abraham and Sarah adopt a dog named Herbie, with a conversation purportedly unfolding about the importance of adoption rather than buying from pet shops. So I want to go back to this archbishop's suggestion that the Lord's Prayer is, quote, problematic. Now, we got more on this. Let's watch this video on this. We're still on this subject.
It's been recited by Christians all over the world for 2,000 years. But now an Anglican archbishop is taking issue with the words, Our Father, in the Lord's Prayer. In his opening address to the Church of England's ruling body, the Archbishop of York argues, quote, the word father is problematic for those whose experience with earthly fathers has been destructive and abusive, and for all of us have labored rather too much from an oppressively patriarchal grip on life. Theologian and Fox News contributor Jonathan Morris is here to react. Jonathan, what is your response to this?
Hey, listen, some things in theologies, right? Theology is a study of God. Some things in theology are hard, right? And there's good to have debate. Some things in theology are quite simple. And this is one of them. Why do I say that? Well, the disciples were questioning how should they pray. And so they asked Jesus. So if you're a Christian, Jesus is God. And so when you ask him a question, he answers, you go, oh, now I have the answer. Mm-hmm. So they ask him, when we pray, how should we pray? And Jesus responded, when you pray, pray like this. And then he said, Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes.
Hallowed be thy name.
Exactly.
So it's pretty simple.
It feels like this one shouldn't be up for debate. But there's all the other things that are happening in the Church of England as well. They opened up a project on gendered language, and they're considering doing away with the gendered he, him pronouns referring to God. Mm. So the wording that's been around for...
And there you go, my friends. That is what's problematic about referencing God as our Father. So let's just call it what it is here. It probably has nothing to do with that some people might be offended because they had an abusive father. It's a nice cover-up story, but I'm not buying it.
Literally thousands of years, they're trying to change to make God gender neutral.
Yeah,
why?
Let's be fair. I think their explanation would be...
A religious one.
It would be a religious, theological explanation saying... God the Father does not have a human body.
But it feels
right. So there's no gender to God the Father in the same way that we have a gender, right? Jesus has a gender, he was a man. God the Father is spirit. So that's their argument. But as soon as you start saying we know better than the Bible, we're gonna take out parts of the Bible, we're going to change the words of Jesus himself, what are you not willing to change?
And a lot of people don't know this, some people do. But God promises a very severe judgment on those who add or take away to the words of this book. These people will stand before God on the day of judgment for twisting and contorting and removing and deleting and adding and conforming the word of God to accommodate their own lust. This is unbelievable, but it's not shocking if you know Bible prophecy.
Change then. So I think that's a great point, Carly. As soon as you start changing something as clear as what the words of Jesus actually say, you will end up saying we can throw it all out with the bathwater.
Well,
exactly.
The Archbishop of York took issue with the Our Father at this meeting of leaders among the Anglican Church, and someone else, Canon Dr. Chris Sugden, he responded saying, is the Archbishop of York saying Jesus was wrong, similar to your point, or that Jesus was not pastorally aware? It seems to be emblematic of the approach of some church leaders to take their cues from culture rather than scripture. So there are those
exactly.
Saying,
there you go.
Let's pump the brakes on this.
Yeah. You know, this debate is excellent.
Yes.
But if you're going to be a teacher of the teachings of Jesus, then you should teach those
Jonathan,
teachings.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Or let me give you my translation. If you're not going to teach the Bible, sit down, retire, throw in the towel, go pump gas somewhere, go work at retail, go in a factory. Don't get up and declare yourself as a minister of the gospel or a preacher of the word if you can't even preach the word in its entirety. If you don't have a spine to preach what could be offensive to people, then you don't need to be a preacher. You're not called, period, bottom line. Then we move over here to this madness. The United Church of Christ urges churches to help, and I quote, This is not my words. I'm reading the article from the Christian Post. Help pregnant people get abortions. Let me read that one more time without pausing it there. The United Church of Christ urges churches to help pregnant people get abortions. Yet again, a politically correct term. This title alone is all jacked up. The United Church of Christ overwhelmingly passed a resolution calling on member congregations of the liberal mainline denomination, oh, and they certainly are, to help pregnant people get abortions. Think about this. You don't think we're in the falling away? You don't think we're in the age of apostasy when you have a church, and I use that lightly, urging people to get abortions? Wow. I mean, what? I don't even know what to say at that point. I'm so stunned. I'm so dumbfounded from this lunacy. At the 34th UCC General Synod earlier this month, delegates passed a measure denouncing the U.S. Supreme Court's June 2022 Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health Organization decision and calling for the denomination to support abortion access by a vote of 611 in favor, 24 opposed, and 13 abstaining. The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in Dobbs that abortion is not a constitutional right, overturning, the 1973 decision Roe v. Wade. The decision also allowed several states to enact restrictions and bans on the procedure's legality in most circumstances. And by the way, isn't it ironic that most pastors, most churches were silent when the Supreme Court ruled this in motion? Every church and every pastor in America should have been celebrating this, but there was an eerie silence. Gee, I wonder why. Again, spineless, jelly-spined, lily-livered, limp-wristed, passive, lukewarm, backslid pastors that won't stand for anything. They're so afraid of opposition, so afraid of adversity, so afraid of offending anybody that they won't even celebrate that we're defending the life of the unborn. But yet here's a church organization urging other denominations to help pregnant people get abortions. Let me read this and let this soak in. The United Church of Christ resolution claimed that a majority of Americans support legal abortion in all or most cases, and that state abortion bans can threaten the lives of pregnant people. These people have already sold their soul to Satan by using this inclusive language, as well as deep and unequal access to comprehensive reproductive care for the minority communities. The resolution supports reciting by peaceful means, including civil disobedience and laws banning abortions, and calls upon every setting of the United Church of Christ to use just peace practices to confront abortion bans and restrictions on reproductive health care. The resolution also urges the United Church Board ministerial assistance to provide emergency grants to any UCC medical beneficiaries and other eligible applicants to cover out-of-pocket cost. Wow, isn't that wonderful? The church wants to pay for your abortion. Wow, unbelievable. And travel costs incurred by assessing care not available in their home state. In other words, translation, I know that church over there is biblical and they stand on the word of God and they are stand against the shedding of innocent blood. And since they do that, why don't you come over to our church and not only will we fight for your right to abort your child, but we'll even fund it. Quote, we call upon local churches, associations, and conferences to physically, financially, and spiritually accompany people seeking and receiving abortions and other reproductive health care in partnership with local health care agencies and abortion fund. The resolution continued. Wow. Unbelievable. But now I want to move on to something else. Because, see, most of you guys will be shouting me down right there, but I bet a lot of y'all is going to get real quiet right here. Because if that didn't offend you, this will. Because now I'm going to ruffle some feathers. Okay, this is a tweet from Simler, who is a queer artist, Christian queer artist. And they posted this, or she posted this, back in June of this year. So last month. This is not old news. Listen, look at this. Quote, "I can't believe it. We got a queer artist to chart at number one. Let this soak in Christian music. Number one in Christian music." Look at this right here. Number one. So they beat out Chris Tomlin, Brandon Lake, CeCe Winans, and Lauren Daigle. Well, we're going to inform you of who that is. Grace Baldridge, who is a singer and songwriter who goes by the stage name Simler, took to Twitter on June 29th of this year to celebrate the success of her single called Faith, which briefly charted as the number one song on the iTunes Store's Christian category. This is ridiculous. In particular, she celebrated that a queer artist was charting in a Christian category during the Alphabet Pride Month. Quote, "I really can't believe it. We got a queer artist to chart at number one in Christian music during Pride Month. You did that. Faith forever. Thank you. Thank you." So notice she said, "You did that. You Christians. You were responsible for putting her number one in the charts." The popular song opens with a clip of a sermon delivered by famed evangelist Billy Graham, in which Graham says, "That's the question, Jesus Christ, who are you?" Faith goes on to explore similar struggle to remain a part of the Christian community, despite the fact that, quote, "my religion turned against me." Now, what she means by this, when she says that my religion turned against me, was that the remnant of real Christians that believe in the Bible spoke out against her lifestyle that is contrary to the Bible. And because they spoke out against her lifestyle, she claimed that her religion turned against her. Oh, and by the way, one of her songs, and I'm going to show you the lyrics to it in just a minute, is filled with all kinds of four-letter colorful words. But hey, it's Christian music. Apparently, that's Christian music that you can play with your kids in the car that will uplift their spirits in Jesus' name. She goes on to say, "But I still have faith. When you call my name, never be the same." Simler sings in the song's chorus, quote, "I still have faith. How you comfort me when they come for me." In the past few years, Simler has garnered attention from both fans and critics for being as open about her sexuality as she is of her faith. She has also vocally advocated for herself to be included in the conversation of mainstream Christian contemporary music, which is an absolute atrocity, and it's blasphemy. Who is controlling this? Who is over this? This is ridiculous. In 2021, Simler went viral on TikTok after attending a Switchfoot concert. You know, remember Switchfoot? Yeah, we'll talk about Switchfoot. They're supposed to be an alleged Christian band. She was at a concert and she attempted to get John Foreman, who is the lead singer of Switchfoot, band's frontman, to express affirmation. So she is reaching out to him to express affirmation towards the LGBTQ community. While Foreman did not hear similar shouts from the crowd at the concert, he did see her video and issued a response via a video of his own. And we got that video clip. Now, surely John Foreman will, you know, he'll come out with a video here and he'll say, "Hey, you know, we as Christians, we love you and we're praying for you, but we cannot support a lifestyle that the Bible condemns, that the Bible commands us to repent from and be delivered from." That's what he's going to say here, right? Well, let's see what he says.
"Hey, Grace, how you doing? I'm so honored that you came to our our show last night. I saw your story, wanted to respond and tell you, yes, I support your rights and freedoms. I want you to feel loved and supported. I want you to feel treasured, valued, seen. I want all love and joy and beauty and truth for you. Love and embrace have...
Wait, what? Embraced?
Always been central to our story and our song. We need our differences. I'm so glad that you were there last night. In fact, it breaks my heart to think that you would not be accepted. Let me...
It would break his heart to know that she wasn't accepted. Okay, so again, do we as the church should accept all? Come as you are. Come all who are weary and heavy laden. Come all ye sinners to the fountain of living water. Come the prostitutes, come drunkards, come fornicators, come sexual immoral, come the witches, the warlocks, the idolaters, the adulterers, all are welcome and come. But we should introduce them to a Jesus Christ who has the power to transform them by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God so that they leave completely transformed versus what they came in as. They came in bound, but they leave set free. Surely that's what he's meaning here, right?
Correct that. You and your journey and your story are welcome.
What? You and your journey is welcome. Your journey into a lifestyle that the Bible commands us to repent from. Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. But again, not shocking.
Switchfoot show. I said something like this last night, and I truly meant it. If you look different than me, if you vote different than me, if you believe differently than me, if you love different than me, you are beloved. You are my sister. You are my brother.
No, guys, no. See, this right here, this mindset right here from Christians is what's going to leave them susceptible to embracing a one world religion. Because this one world religion is going to preach that same message. It doesn't matter what faith you are. It doesn't matter what you practice. It doesn't matter your background, your journey, what you identify as. We're all just God's children. We're all brothers and sisters, absolutely contrary to the scripture. So again, this is not biblical. See, the problem is you got all these, I'm so tired of this. You got these quote Christian artists that don't even know the Bible. Either A, they don't know the Bible and they're ignorant of it, or B, they're willfully ignorant of it and they are sellouts. Y'all, I'm going to get a little bit just harder here in just a second. I'll preach more about that in just a moment. Because I believe I don't believe there's so many people that are ignorant of scripture. I think most of these people know exactly what they're doing and there's a reason they're doing it. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. So let's finish the rest of this real quick.
I need you like you need me, like I need you like you need me. Our music has always been, for anyone who's open-minded enough to jump into the dialogue, agnostic, atheist, consumerist, Jewish, Muslim, doubters, believers, haters, lovers, LGBTQ+, and everyone else who's brave enough to look for meaning and truly jump into that. No one else is an expert on someone else's experience. And
well, the Bible is.
I can't pretend to know your pain. I can only know my own. I know what it's like to feel like you don't fit in. Even the song Where I Belong is referencing a longing for a belonging that I've never felt here on the planet. And I don't know your pain, but I know what it's like to wrestle with depression and anxiety. I know what it's like to feel voiceless in a hypocritical culture that feels deeply flawed. I know what that feels like. And I'm sure you've received all sorts of pain and hardship along the way. I'm so sorry. May these wounds heal.
See, and this is what bothers me. It's, again, why are we apologizing for the gospel? If I preach to you the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ and it offends you, it hurts your feelings, or it makes you uncomfortable or not welcome, then friends, then it's called a response. It's calling for a response. Then repent. And this is what's sad. So these individuals will not repent of their sins, but instead they'll seek out affirming churches that don't preach the gospel, that don't preach the truth, that don't have the power and the authority to set them free, but instead will cater to their sins. That's the true tragedy of this, is you got all these people. Again, I get so tired of having to explain this to my kids. I've had my oldest son understands this now, but my youngest son is not fully there yet. And I have to explain to them over and over again, just because people call themselves Christians, it doesn't mean they're really Christians. And my goodness, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Because why? Because it's biblical. It's prophetic. It's the signs of the end times.
May you transcend them. Wounds would not define you, but that you would define them. May you find peace and truth and love on your journey. Keep writing songs. Keep creating beauty.
Yeah, keep writing songs, but don't do it under a Christian genre.
You keep reaching out, keep being honest, keep chasing beauty and truth and light and love.
What? Yeah, keep chasing everything but Jesus, right? Keep chasing everything but Jesus.
Choosing to see the good in people, even the folks who might be different than you. With all love and respect, I hope to see you around sometime.
All right, last year, Simler unsuccessfully petitioned to be considered for the Gospel Music Association. Oh, by the way, let me pull that up here. Simler, listen, look at this article. Simler begs Gospel Music Association members to vote her the best new artist at the Dove Awards. Thank God they didn't. Are you kidding me? She recently came off a tour in which she served as the opening act for a longtime popular, quote, Christian band, Reliant K. Simler felt that her recent rise in popularity was worth considering. So here, another sellout, Reliant K, that calls themselves Christians, are saying, yeah, come on, you can open for us. Now, I know as well as I'm sitting here, some of you people are going to be like, well, I don't know what the big deal is, Brother Ricky. You're so judgmental. You're just judging her. You don't know this, blah, blah, blah. Okay, let me just read the lyrics to one of her songs. This is one of her hit songs. Remember, she's a, quote, Christian artist. And it's called You're Not My Friend. Let me read these lyrics to you. For you guys that are watching on YouTube, on Rumble, and on Facebook Live, I'm not going to censor this so you can see it on the screen. But you guys that are listening, I'm going to have to censor some of these words. Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? It's a Christian song that I've got to censor the words. Here we go. Check tape. You used a natural disaster just so you could go and ruin my day. Blank sake. And that's the F word. Like, if I'm really such a heathen, why can't you just stay the blank out of my way? Oh, I pray that Jesus Christ is revealed to you. One day you'd say the same and text me back with ice inside your veins. I'm burning up. Thank God I know this BS isn't love, and I'm abbreviating that. Here's the pre-chorus. 'Cause you're not my friend, you're not my friend. I think you blanking know it. You're embarrassed and it's showing. You're not my friend. Yeah, you talk your blank in private. I go public. You don't like it. Here's the chorus. God is amazing and your church is crazy. Blank off to your worldview and scary bad values. Good grief, I'm thrilled that you can't stand the sight of me rent free. You've turned me into someone so petty. So how's it taste? This humble pie I worked all night to bake. 'Cause you're not my friend. She repeats this stuff. This is a song from a Christian artist. Friends, listen, my heart breaks for this woman. She's hurt. She's wounded. She's bitter, but she needs to repent. She's embraced something that God's called her to repent of, and it's sad. It's absolutely sad. She needs repentance. She needs deliverance. She needs prayer. Please pray for her. But listen, my beef is not even with her. My beef is with these crazy people that consider this Christian music. Again, there's no distinction, friend, between the holy and the profane, between what is righteous, what is evil, what is good, what is evil, what is light, what is darkness. The lines are so blurred together that we can no longer make a distinction anymore. And listen, most Christians don't even care. They could care less about scandals, controversies, any of this stuff. I found this interesting. This was an article from churchleaders.com. Few worship leaders avoid Hillsong and Bethel songs despite controversies and scandal. I don't have time to spend an hour talking about the controversies and scandals centered around both Hillsong and Bethel. I'm talking about from the leadership to all of them. But yet, very few worship leaders even care. You will still sing this in your church. Now, among the few pastors that are actually speaking out on this, Pastor Jack Hibbs recently sounded the alarm on the church abandoning scriptural truths for the woke culture. So kudos to this pastor who at least he has a spine to speak out. In the article, he outlined how Christians can discern if a church is abandoning biblical principles and succumbing to woke ideology, as many abandon scriptural truths to appease an increasingly secularized culture. In a recent interview with the Christian Post, Hibbs, who is the pastor of Calvary Chapel in California, expressed concern about the current state of the church in America. Quote, "I see the church today, predominantly the church in America, on its heels. It's on its back, it's against the ropes, because the church doesn't seem to know its scriptures or its place." The pastor said during a sit-down interview at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, quote, "It's as though it's a ship at sea without an anchor. Pastors today don't know what they should say. If they can get away with this, rather than speaking the truth in love." Hibbs went on to encourage believers to immerse themselves in the scriptures, whether by reading or listening to the audio version of the Bible. He said, provides discernment and enables people to identify falsehoods such as the subtle nuances of woke culture. Quote, woke now is kind of trying to refine itself. It's more subtle than it was when it first came out. He went on to say, quote, "How am I going to know about these nuances in this wokeism world we're in? The Bible." I love how he goes back to the scriptures. The Bible calls for discernment and God gives it. We don't have it. God, the Holy Spirit, will give us discernment from the Bible to tell us when something is off. He goes on to say, quote, "I think the church today needs to stand firm, preach what it believes. And if it doesn't believe it, the pastor needs to go on a cruise, figure himself out, or get a new job." Amen. Come on. I love this guy. If you're called, then you can take, If you're called, then you can take any heat, he said. You can take any criticism, because when you lay your head down at night, you're free. That's so true. You get your assessment every day when you shut down, as it were, with Jesus. Lord, tell me how I might have misrepresented you today, or tell me what things, God, you want to build upon today. I'm telling you, I wouldn't know how to live if that weren't true. In other words, what Hibbs is saying here is that true believers, we answer to Jesus. Listen, when I stand before God on the day of judgment, the media is not going to be here. The woke culture is definitely not going to be here. None of these jokers are going to be here. The only one I'm going to stand before God on the day of judgment is with him. I will stand before him and him alone, and he will judge me not based on how culturally relevant I was, or if I catered to the culture of my day and in my hour. No, he's going to say, did you preach the unadulterated, unfiltered, unwavering word of Almighty God, and I'll be judged according to that. Your Bible says that the secrets of men's hearts will be judged by Jesus Christ on that day. So the bottom line is, friend, that the falling away of the church is, it is here. It is not going to let up. It is not going to wane. It's going to get worse, and it's going to wax worse and worse. And we have to choose this day whom we're going to serve. You're going to have to make that decision now. You're going to have to make that decision right at this moment. You cannot wait. If you think you're going to wait it out and things are going to get better, friends, you will find yourself deceived. You've got to get in the Word. You've got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And you're going to have to make your face like flint. You're going to have to make that decision. And you're going to have to make it right now. And you're going to say, I don't care if it's offensive. I don't care who I may lose as a friend. And I use that likely, because if they're really friends, let me leave you with this verse. This is in Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Do you realize what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here? We've got a lot of Christians, they don't want to lose their life. They don't want to lose their influence. They don't want to lose their friends. They don't want to lose their party life. They don't want to lose their habits. They don't want to lose their addictions. They don't want to lose the lust of their flesh. They don't want to lose these things. They want to hold on to these things. And at the same time, they want to have Jesus as a backup. They want to have Jesus as a spare tire to put in the trunk in case one of their tires goes flat on the side of the road. They can just call on Jesus, and he's going to be there to, come on, to prop them back up so they can get back on the same journey that they were on. Listen, when Jesus got in the heart of ministry, that all the disciples were gathered around him, he began to preach so heavy that most of them left, and he looked at the remainder of them and said, aren't you going to go as well? And Peter looks at them and said, we don't have anything to go back to. Oh, come on. That means Peter understood the cost. Peter burned the bridges behind him. Peter said goodbye to everything he was holding on to. But the problem is, you got a lot of people. Some of you would have left with the crowd. Why? Because you're not willing to let go of things. You're not willing to say goodbye to some things. You're not willing to cut some things away. You're not willing to sever some things. You're not willing to deny yourself. You're not willing to take up your cross and follow after him. And listen, you can always identify people, whether or not they have taken up their cross, denied themselves, and truly followed after Christ, because they will be the first ones to get offended over the preaching of the whole gospel. They're going to be the first ones offended over the preaching of truth. Listen, if you get someone who's been sold out, died to themselves, following Christ, living a life, trying to serve God day after day after day, like Paul did, said, I beseech you, therefore I die daily. You find those individuals, and when somebody gets up and preaches the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with conviction, you will see those individuals respond with humility. They will respond by answering an altar call of repentance, because they don't want anything in their life that can be a hindrance for them to enter into the kingdom and pursue the real journey of following after Christ. So what about you today? Do you find yourself being led and lured and seduced by doctrines of demons and seducing spirits? Do you find yourself being pressured by the culture to keep your mouth shut, to remain silent, to not speak out the truth, to capitulate, to compromise, to live lukewarm? If that's you today, it's time to repent. It's time to call it as it is. You need to repent. You need to renounce lukewarm living. It's time for some people to say, the cross before me and the world behind me, it may cost me everything, but I have come too far not to go forward. If that's you and you're listening tonight, you're watching by Rumble, watching by YouTube, watching by Facebook Live, watching by the rebroadcast, listening by Apple, listening by Spotify, right where you're at, I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus that you repent. Repent of your sins. Repent of your lukewarmness. Repent of your complacency. Repent for allowing the devil to silence you and keep your mouth shut and convince you to remain silent and remain apathetic, and that everything will go well for you, because that is a lie from the pits of hell. Listen, that's what they did during the time of a world dictator. When a world dictator, which I will not name because I want to get this broadcast to remain, but there was under the dictatorship of a world leader, a tyrant, that slaughtered millions of people. When those individuals were being put onto carts and being led to their destruction, you know, there was many in the church in those days that knew what was happening, that saw what was happening, but they kept their mouth shut. They remained silent. And in fact, there is stories from people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer that said that the churches, when they heard the carts going by on the railroad tracks, that the church, instead of weeping, instead of trying to intercede, instead of trying to intervene, instead they would just sing louder to drown out the cries of those that were oppressed and those that were being led to their slaughter. Friends, what are we doing in this hour? Are we just gonna sing a little bit louder in church and ignore people and ignore our society that's dying and going to hell? That we're gonna just sing a little bit louder to drown out a generation that's dying and being succumbed to this demonic agenda? Are we going to sing a little bit louder while pastors and leaders and deacons and bishops and apostles and prophets and teachers are all eating at the table of Jezebel, and they've compromised and they're lukewarm and they've lost their spine and they're afraid of persecution? They're afraid of being canceled. They're afraid of losing their influence. They're afraid of losing their platform. They're afraid of losing their monetization on these platforms and whatever the case may be. Listen, if that's you, you're listening to me, it's time to repent in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we repent, Lord, for being apathetic. We repent for being lukewarm. We repent for accepting the very things that God, that you called an abomination. Lord, if we are supporting anything and everything that is contrary to what the Bible speaks out against, then we are not sided and partnering with the kingdom of heaven. We have partnered with the kingdom of hell. We repent of this. We renounce it today. We break ties from it today. We sever it today. And we say, today is the day that I go forward. And the Bible says that until the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. Another translation said, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing and forceful people take hold of it. It's time that we take hold of the gospel of the kingdom of God and we run with it, uncompromised, unrelenting in Jesus' name. We can't afford to worry about who it offends, whose feathers it causes to be ruffled. We got to continue on the firing lines because an entire generation is looking to us as the forerunners to prepare the way of the coming of the Lord in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, I need you to do me a favor. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. Please bookmark our site. Better yet, download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android. If you type in End Time Headlines, you're going to see it right there. Just click on that, download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be ready to go with everything that we put out there when we release it. If this ministry is a continual source of blessing to you, it equips you, it informs you, it encourages you, it convicts you, whatever the case may be, we are praying that you would pray about becoming a monthly partner. Would you consider partnering with End Time Headlines? You could do this two different ways. You can give electronically through the app right there at the bottom, all the way to the bottom to the right where it says donate. Just click on that little heart right there where it says donate. And you can give and support to this ministry electronically there. Or again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Or if you wish to get by check or money order, you can give right there at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Again, as always, guys, I just want to stress that all of our messages are free. Our app is free. There's no charge. We don't sell merchandise. We don't do any of that. We just ask if this ministry is a source of blessing to you, and whatever your relationship is with this ministry, you pray about becoming a monthly partner. You pray about what the Lord would have you to do, and just be obedient to that, and God will bless you in return. So, guys, we're going to sign off for today. We will be off tomorrow. We will not be on here tomorrow night, which is Wednesday, July the 19th. We will be taking a day off. We'll be right back in here on Thursday, the 20th and the 21st on Friday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I need you to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that push notification, do all that so you can push this information out and get it out there so the algorithm can pick on us and more people can see our content. So listen, guys, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a couple days. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.